and a warm welcome to the Offside Rule WSL edition with you for another week. Don't forget there's a season's break coming up very, very soon in the WSL. So please catch us, absorb us, mull over us, listen to us while you can. It's me, Kate Borsay, in the hot seat, and joining me up front, it's
me, Lindsay Hooper, a December disclosure that I have that annual cold that's come round. I have it every single year. And I think Raph has kept a distance on purpose. I've just revealed who our guest is for the day, by the way.
Yeah, so hello to everyone. Welcome on to the show.
We should also say what the week has had in store.
Well, yes, this week Arsenal remained top of the table after Chelsea came from behind to beat Manchester City.
And Sam Kerr tops the Guardian and the Offside Rules top 100 footballers list. We are going to run through that and also talk about the team that has signed Sam Kerr, because we've got the right person to do just that. Claire Rafferty is with us in the studio. Raf, of course, former West Ham, former England, but now as well on the board of directors for Lewis FC.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a great deal of spare time I have these days, actually. Yeah, just been announced today. Be a non-exec member of the board. I'm really looking forward to joining a club that is fighting for pay parity and equality.
So they've got such great ambitions. Just tell us about what your role involves. So it's a non-executive director.
Yeah, non-exec. So obviously it doesn't affect my job at Chelsea or anything. It's just bringing another voice to the table and just bringing my experiences and sharing, you know, what I think can be done a little bit better, what I think might need changing, and yeah, just kind of being a little bit of diversity in the voices and opinions.
People wanted to point out as well that I am in the same studio as you today, because for quite a few times...
Yeah, you know what? I've not seen you in such a long time, actually.
We didn't cross paths. Only at Chelsea.
I'm starting to think that you didn't exist.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm here. I exist. We did mention Sam Kerr there at the top, and you're at Chelsea, former Chelsea player as well. What did you think of our top 100, the top 10 in particular? So Sam Kerr came out on top, number one. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of Chelsea players in the top 100 that was put together. In there as well from the WSL, in the top 10, people will recognise names like Vivian Miedema, and of course Lucy Bronze before she went to Lyon as well, in at number two.
Fantastic list. Imagine all them in one team. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know who would start up front, actually, over...
all of them.
All of them. I'll just chuck them all. But yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of them played in this year's World Cup, so they had some fantastic experiences there, and they got to showcase what they can do. Normally it's a bit of a popularity contest, but this top 100 that The Guardian did is, we were talking about before, about the variety of judges. Mm. And it's quite difficult to give your opinion when you don't see a lot of these players. But I mean, I trust the judges that these 94, was it?
93 people's a lot,
93,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just The Guardian, it was the Offside Rule as well. This is...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. This is our top 100. We started doing it 4 years ago, I think. Rich Laverty, it's his brains behind the operation, and it takes months to put this together. And you can imagine trying to communicate with 93 judges is enough, let alone the judges who didn't then get involved.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a top 100 of any sort. There will always be people that say, no, it should have been in this order. Yeah. I think what you can give it here is it's got the credibility of the 93 judges, people that have worked in the game or played in the game, and from all over the world as well. So we're not ignoring any sectors. So I think that's good. I am going to point out, though, because we've got a defender in, that, you know, you do look at the
you
top 10.
Defenders just really don't get the plaudits, do they? But Lucy Bronze, she's more kind of famous for her attacking prowess, isn't she?
Yes.
Not to say that she's not a good defender, but she's so dominant driving forward that it's rare to see defenders up there. But, you know, the likes of goalkeepers, Sari van Miendel and Christine Endler, they're all in the top 30, so it's great.
It is a universal thing as well. We do it whatever the sport. It's often the scorers that get the glory or the people that are very, very creative. Having said that, we'll come on to the goal that we've seen over the weekend. But, you know, defending is an art form. We know that's an important skill.
Here's one for you. Guess which WSL club has the most players in the Offside Rule and the Guardian Sports top 100. Which one do you think, Raf?
I would go Chelsea. I just said you went
Arsenal?
Raf and then I spoke.
No, you're called Raf. I'd probably go Chelsea, Arsenal.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is Chelsea with 7, plus Kerr on
7,
top, of course, now.
Oh, yeah.
Arsenal 5, City 3. But Arsenal players feature more than any other in the top sort of 30 to 20. So
as many as Lyon?
as in WSL clubs.
Leon must have all their players.
Leon have got, just to paint the picture, Leon have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the top 10 alone. Yeah. So there we go. But it's a great celebration of achievements during the year and, of course, the brilliant skill on display in the women's game. So well done to Rich Laverty and the Guardian Sport for their support on that one.
Well, let's get into the weekend action next.
This is the Offside Rule WSL edition from Muddy Knees Media.
Well, it was Chelsea 2, Man City 1. Chelsea scoring twice in 3 second-half minutes to come from behind to beat Manchester City.
As it comes to G, he thinks about a shot from distance and it's saved. But on the rebound, it's England who sticks it away and Chelsea are level. First time ball. Loops up in the air, Robert's under pressure, England might get on the rebound and it's into the back of the net. And I think it's Mielda who's got the final touch on that. It was fizzed in by England and Mielda has poked it in. And Chelsea are in front now. Manchester City women are beaten for only the second time this season.
That's after Caroline Weir put the visitors in front. So it was then over to Beth England to head in a rebound and get unbeaten Chelsea back into the tie. It was Beth England again who then set up Maren Mielda for the winner in front of nearly 3,500 fans. We're going to go to you first on this one, Raf. You were there. I think it was a sellout crowd as well, was it?
Yeah, the atmosphere was really great, actually. Obviously, Man City-Chelsea has always been quite a grudge match. Me and Annie were talking before about we hadn't realised we hadn't actually beaten them since 2014.
Yes.
In the WSL, we beat them in the FA Cup,
isn't it? Yeah.
And even walking into it, like you could kind of sense that in the crowd a little bit of apprehension. And then we were stood next to the City fans, actually, who are really quite loud and quite funny with some of their chants. So I won't repeat half of them.
Were they giving you a little bit
yes.
of stick though?
As they always have, they always do. It's like it was all, you know, tongue in cheek. But, you know, it's that kind of testament to the competition between the two teams.
How did you rate the performances?
I was disappointed in the first half that Chelsea didn't capitalise because I was kind of hoping that they weren't going to have to pay for not being clinical enough. Man City, they obviously scored not so much against the run of play in the second half, but you could see them kind of growing into the game. Lauren Hemp was getting on the ball a lot more. And when she does that, she's so dangerous. That was their biggest threat, really. And then they scored and then Chelsea kind of bounced back. Luckily, because if they hadn't, that would have been kind of a really kick in the teeth because they were the better team.
Yeah. And Lindsay, Beth England has been so crucial, but perhaps not enough credit to her within that Chelsea side this season.
No, I don't think so. We have mentioned her quite a few times and you read articles and she is mentioned, but I think if other players were doing what she's doing every week at the moment, they'd be talked about as top five
I think
in the world.
That in women's football, though, there's so much favouritism almost and popularity. If not that her face doesn't fit, but if she'd have been brought in for lots of money, we would have been raving about her.
Yeah.
But I think because she's kind of grown into the team and you know, paved their way being at Liverpool. I just don't really feel like she gets the right
into
credit.
Into the England
yeah.
setup as well.
Yeah,
now.
She's been doing fantastic.
Is it just because she's sort of new on the scene when you pitch her against some of the other Chelsea players? Or
maybe because internationally she doesn't have the same reputation. You know, yes, she is playing for England now, but it might take a couple of more years, maybe a little bit more consistency. If she continues the way she's going on,
because I think the women's game is still skewed in the country before club direction rather than club before country. I mean, club football, she's done brilliantly. She scored crucial goals as well. We saw her score that absolute blinder at Stamford Bridge against Spurs at the start of the season. And those single goals that mean 3 points or not 3 points, and again, individual talent as well, because I know it's a team game, but Beth England really can turn the game on its head.
I was actually about to say that the very same thing. She becomes so useful, doesn't she, when she's not just a goal scorer, but she's a match turner. And that for her will make her invaluable to Emma Hayes, who I know from seeing at one of the England games thinks so much of Beth England. Yeah. She really, really does. So I would expect more great things from her. Raf, what about City? They were in control for most of the first half, as you sort of alluded to earlier. Why couldn't they hang on? What was out there?
I just feel like they're missing something this season. They don't, whether it's, you know, a certain player that they need or maybe some new faces being brought in, there just seems to be there's not an ability to dominate in the way that they used to. I feel like they've lost a little bit of their fear factor. They're still a fantastic team. They still manage to win games and they're doing very well and they're going to keep pushing the top two. But I just don't know if they've got enough.
Do you think they need like a G?
I don't even know really what it is because they've got great midfielders. You know,
they do have like, great midfielders, and a lot of their play goes through midfield. Yeah. So you'd think, well, it's not exactly that, but there's maybe a lack of experience in that midfield.
Yeah,
apart from Jill Scott,
and I just found like they needed to be a little bit more aggressive. They used to be very aggressive, you know, very high energy pressing, and I just felt some of the tackles that were being made were just a little bit limp. And that was a difference in the end. Chelsea kind of picked up and was a little bit more aggressive.
I don't know whether I'm right on this, but one of the things that I thought I'd noticed was that the midfield, although they're very good, I feel that they're protecting the defence a lot more than they used to.
Yeah.
I wonder that whether that signals that Man City's defence isn't as good.
There's been a lot of changes in the back line for City over the last season, really. It's not been consistent, so that probably is an issue for them.
They are lacking a bit of class, and I say that with the greatest respect.
Yeah.
But when you look at them versus Chelsea, and even if you look at the number of Chelsea players within the women's top 100, as we've alluded to, they are missing those players who can turn a game, who are responsible for individual moments of brilliance, whether that's G for Chelsea, whether we add Beth England into this conversation as well. Do you think then, both of you, that City are going to slip away from the title chase? How do you see it going?
I don't think you can say that at the moment because there's only that point between Chelsea and City. So I think there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, I watched them against United in the Cup, and they lost. That was the first time I thought, oh, there's something not. They need, as you said before, they need that spark somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
The thing that I would identify in comparison to Chelsea and Arsenal is Arsenal and Chelsea both can score from pretty much midfield, up front. There's a lot of avenues for them to get goals. And one of the noteworthy stats from this match was that Chelsea had 10 shots on target and City just had 3. Yeah. So you're thinking
but
they're
clinical still, aren't they? That's the thing. That's why they still get wins because they don't need a lot of chances to score. But they're not creating enough.
Mm. On next to Reading against Arsenal then, and we'll talk about the team at the top because they were 3-0 winners, Arsenal, away at Reading. And after the highest ever scoreline that we talked about in the WSL last week, Arsenal came up against a Reading side mindful of not letting the North Londoners take too much control in that department. But it worked to some extent, not completely. It was a very scrappy affair in places. It did finish 3-0 and another 2 for Miedema after scoring so many last week.
Ball, that is Van der Donk. Miedema! Beautiful!
So, Raf, there was the 11 goals from Arsenal last week. This week, only 3. I think that's to be expected, isn't it?
Yeah.
That there's definitely going to be an awareness of that.
I do enjoy watching Arsenal. Mm. I always have admired the way they play. There's such technicians in the team. That goal, where the combination was probably one of the best I've seen for a long time.
The little goal.
Yeah.
Mead pulls it all the way back for Little. Williamson, Little, Nobbs, here's Kim Little! Oh, how about that? That is remarkable from Arsenal.
The little goal, yeah.
The big goal from Kim Little.
And that's what they do so well when they get it right. And something for them has clicked. They're dangerous when they're in this kind of form. And yeah, it's been kind of... Obviously, they won last season, didn't they? They won titles, so it's not a surprise to see them doing so well, but they've improved a lot still, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because of the, you know, testament to all the other teams pushing them.
Miedema as well in fine form. In fact, Arsenal's Twitter feed says all of Vivian Miedema's last 9 goals have been scored with her right foot. And I love the hashtag feed the Viv. We mentioned that last week as well, didn't we? But Daniela van der Donk's pinpoint precision providing for the second goal from Miedema. Again, another lovely one-touch finish from her. And as you say, Viv, I was about to call you Raf.
Change my name. I quite like Viv, do you? Yeah. I don't know.
And as you say, Raf, it's that level of technical excellence. It's the stuff that you sit back and go, wow, clean, precise, skillful.
Like this, I'm so glad to see this coming through in these games now. Like it's a joy to watch. And, you know, in the past, some of the games haven't been high quality. Mm. And now knowing that, you know, more likely than not, a lot of the games are going to be really high quality makes you want to go and go and watch them. And that's where we need to be at.
That goal from Kim Little, you need moments like that. It goes viral. People are engaging. Exactly. Already on the way here to record this, I was having a bit of a debate about it on Twitter.
Why? What were you saying?
So, well, a couple of people commented, and rightly so, and you're the person as a defender to talk about this.
About the
defending for that goal.
Yeah, Yeah, it wasn't the best, yeah.
It wasn't the best. And I feel that that passage of play, the build-up, mm-hmm. which was so beautiful, it bamboozled Reading.
Yeah. Sometimes, look, you can't, as a defender, you have to credit someone's movement. You're not even aware of the subtle movement that the Arsenal players were giving to kind of throw the Reading defenders off. It's just one little step in one direction can throw your whole body shape off. So
how do you keep focus for those sorts of moves? Because you would have had that against you when you were playing.
Well,
you know,
at Chelsea, when we used to be in training, that was when you'd really see it because you're playing up against G, Fran, everyone, and Ramona, like kind of bouncing it off. My thing would be actually stay in your shape. Don't get
ball
drawn out
watch.
Because soon as you go and you get done by a drop shoulder or a dummy, then they've won. So it's best to just almost keep compact, stay tight and almost wish for the best, hope for the best.
We are pleased it was scored, though.
Yeah, it was a very good
goal. It was a brilliant moment. It was perhaps a better start from Reading, though, in that game until Arsenal sort of came back into it. Farrah Williams could have scored, and there's been a bit of discussion about whether Reading are missing a striker, whether there's too much reliance on, Farrah and some of the other players there, or rather not enough players there really able to score goals. What do you think about that, Raf? Is there something lacking there for them to look at?
All season I thought that. We talk about Man City almost lacking a bit of a spark, but Reading they've got this surprise. I think the same in Liverpool, actually. They've got very good players.
Yeah, they do.
I just don't know why it's not clicking. So, yeah, as you said, over-reliant on the likes of Farrah Williams, who will just keep scoring for you because she's still that good.
Machine.
Yeah. I don't even... Is it a striker? Do they need someone who's going to hold the ball up a little bit better? Do they actually need to... maybe think about how to use their players better.
Yeah.
You've got some fantastic players.
You do, but I wonder, Reading are set-piece specialists and they really rely on that. And fair play to them because they make a good job of it. But, perhaps something to think about there. Arsenal, by the way, bit of news from them. Joe Montemurro won't be in the dugout for the upcoming games against London Bees and Everton. He's going to return to Australia for personal reasons. The team will be led by Leanne Hall and Aaron Dantino.
You're listening to The Offside Rule, WSL edition, from Muddy Knees Media.
Well, next up, Manchester United, Everton in front of 1,805 people. A good attendance. It wasn't the ideal start, though, for United when Mary Earps punched a corner ball into her own net on 2 minutes. But as has been the case several times this season, up pops Lauren James to the rescue. On hand to get the host back in the tie. She equalised from close range, drew the foul that earned the spot kick, then which Katie Zellum scored and got a second from 20 yards to seal a 3-1 victory for Manchester United. How important, then, is a player like Lauren James to Casey Stoney? She's on 5 goals for the season already so far, Raf.
Lauren James has been pivotal for them this season. She's been, a player that's been well-known in the youth because of the potential that she has. And I've really enjoyed watching them, actually. And I think it's the team that give her that self-belief and confidence. And she's very nonchalant as well with how she conducts herself. It doesn't really look like she's trying that hard.
That's the mark
and
of
it's a
good player, though.
A little bit like Medina, very, chilled, doesn't really kind of get too, overexcited, very, very calm for such a young individual as well. So, she's going to be one hell of a player, I think.
It's going to be difficult because Manchester United, they're sort of the best of the rest at the moment, but there is quite a points difference between them and the top three. Could you see any of those bigger sides, if that's what we're going to call them at the moment, coming in for her?
Yeah. I'd like to think that Man United probably have enough clout to keep her, being such a big club.
Also, Casey's working with her very closely.
You do play for the managers.
Yeah.
And Casey is a great manager and a great job for them. She'll be, behind the scenes, probably investing a lot of time individually in a lot of these players. So it's whether she goes to a bigger club and maybe gets a little bit lost and doesn't get as much exposure, or she stays at United. I'm not saying bigger clubs because Man United is, in men's terms, bigger than all. But yeah, I think she should stay, and I think they'll keep her for sure.
Okay,
Mary Earps, Lindsay. She's a good goalkeeper, no doubt about that one. But can she be a bit rash sometimes?
Yeah, and I think this was a great example very early on in this match. I think she's brilliant. She's a great character to have in the dressing room. And she has proven in the last 12 months, I think especially that move that she made back from Germany to the WSL, this has been a great opportunity for her at Manchester United to really cement her place. But she has those hot-headed moments. And I do wonder whether there's a part of her that just needs to work on that discipline of knowing, you know, if you're going to go and punch for a corner, these are the things that they're going to be working on in training. You don't really want to be seeing this, and of course it puts you under pressure straight away so early.
Yeah, as a goalkeeper you could do 99 things right and you do that one thing wrong and you know, you could have cost your team. So it's a lot about concentration. You know, we talk about goalkeeper's maturity, I think that comes into play. She's still relatively young. How old is she actually? I can't remember.
She is pretty young. Yeah. Only just over...
She's 26, apparently.
Oh.
26. Phil Neville was at this game, Lionesses manager. And actually, you know, the number two position, I suppose, for England, or even the number one position, if you consider that Karen Bardsley has been out injured, one to play for. But we saw a great performance from Ellie Roebuck, although City didn't win.
She
made some great saves. So when you look at Roebuck versus Earps, who's in the lead for you at the moment?
For me,
Raph?
It'd be Roebuck.
Okay.
I think against Chelsea yesterday, she was superb. Me and Annie were actually talking about giving her the woman of the match. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I think Beth kind of stole the show. But she kept them in the game. The only thing with goalkeepers, you know, is it's about height and size, isn't it, sometimes? Mm-hmm. And they're things that you can't change. So I think that's one thing that KB has over, you know, all the other goalkeepers, the stature.
Mm-hmm. On to Bristol versus Birmingham, and this was a lowest attendance of the weekend with 404, but I did want to point out that's probably only because Everton were playing away this weekend, actually, because they have been having the lowest attendances and Bristol do relatively well most of the time.
Can we give a shout out, because I think our producer Abby's got these attendances from WSL Attendances. It's a Twitter feed and it's really damn useful.
Really?
Thank you so much for this. I've been wanting this all season. I haven't got the discipline to keep it up myself, but thank you very much to that Twitter feed who's been informing us with all our attendances.
So a third defeat in a row for Bristol City, who hosted a Birmingham side also desperate for points. A goal in each half for the visitors. The final score 2-0 to Birmingham. And Kate, you can talk us through this one because I believe that you were across it.
Yeah, well, it was a lovely finish into the top corner from Birmingham's Lucy Whip after just 5 minutes. So they set the agenda straight from the off. Birmingham second, the result of a really quite awful error, actually, from Bristol's keeper, Sophie Bagley. Unusual for her. Abby Grant's effort from the edge of the box slid through the arms of the Bristol goalie. Abby Grant, I thought, very good, on excellent form. She had a goal disallowed for offside early on. She hit the crossbar not long after, and finally her goal in the second half. So a good performance here from Birmingham, a much-needed win as well.
Well, for more on this result, let's speak with one of Birmingham City's players, Lucy Staniforth.
Lucy, welcome along. Congratulations on the win. What was the atmosphere like in the dressing room afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, it was one that was pretty happy. Obviously, wins have been hard to come by. So, yeah, I think we were just relieved and happy and pleased that we played well as well. So, yeah.
There must have been a lot of hard work that's gone into that performance behind the scenes. Exactly what is it that you've been trying to tweak to get that win, that valuable win that you needed?
I think we've sort of looked at being a bit more strong through the centre of the team and perhaps being a little bit more structured in that sense. And yeah, I guess we've got quality. It's just sort of getting the quality on the pitch and getting Rach Williams back firing. And I think the biggest thing for us at the moment is having belief and a bit of confidence in the players that we've brought in. I think it's taken a bit of time, but I feel like we're getting to a point now where those players are feeling a bit more confident and a bit more, I don't know, sort of established in the team as such.
We had your former manager, Mark Skinner, in the studio last week with Bass, and he was talking about Birmingham and the young players that have been coming through. I wondered from your point of view, because you'll be seen as the experienced one or one of them, wouldn't you, at the moment? Is there a bit extra on your shoulders in that department?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I think the other day I realised I was like the oldest one training at 27.
How old are you? Yeah, I was going to say, you're only young.
I was 27. I'm 27, so I'm like, what is happening here? But I mean, yeah, I suppose having played women's football now for over 10 years, it's, you sort of gain all those experiences. And I do enjoy that, I suppose, pressure, if you would call it that, at Birmingham. I quite enjoy that challenge. And yeah, it's obviously the wealth of youth players coming through at Birmingham is incredible, really. I don't think I've ever been at a team where I've seen such high-level players. It's just, again, about getting them on the pitch and getting them, yeah, minutes and letting them show everyone what they can do.
How do you work with those younger players, Lucy? I know that your coach, Marta Teodor, sort of credited the leadership and the maturity of the team after the result at the weekend. And we've been keeping an eye on Lily Simkin. It's someone that Mark Skinner mentioned last week, or Laura did. 16-year-old defender, very good in your win against Bristol, I thought, especially for a 16-year-old. Do you give them advice? Do you try and do team-building activities? Is there kind of a magic ingredient in there in terms of helping these really young players into your side, especially those like Lily Simkin, who've got a lot of responsibility?
Do you know what is really funny? Like, they've sort of just come out of nowhere because we've had so many injuries. They've just got drafted in at the last minute and they've kind of just took it in their stride. I've not really had to say too much to them. I just said to Lily that, like, obviously we're all behind her and we're back, because I think her first game was Chelsea at home, and I was like, this poor girl's just got thrown in the deep end. But do you know what? Fair play to her. She's actually really, like, a really calm and composed player, and you would not believe she's 16 given her height and the way that she plays. It's quite insane, really.
Given the injuries that you've had, Lucy, the fact that you're bedding in these very young players, are you just looking at this season as one to get through, one to survive, and then focus on next year?
I mean, I don't want to say that, no, because I think that not there's still a lot
to play.
She wants to
play the next game, so she's not going to say.
yeah, I can't pull myself out the team. I don't know, it's a hard one, because we've gone from a team last year that was really competing to a team this year that's, it's completely changed. But I still am so competitive and I want us to do well. I want us to climb up the table and I know that we can. And the frustrating thing is, like, say, the injuries that we've had, people like Keris Harrop, who's like huge player for us. It has been frustrating. And even Sarah Malin, I thought she started the season unbelievably well. And I'm just like a bit gutted for her, really, that it's ended up, she's sort of had to, yeah, take a couple of steps back with her injuries. But I still think that we'd love to, like, climb up the table and hopefully get a good cup run in the FA Cup and stuff. Mm.
Lucy, you've got Manchester United women next. Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going to be? For me, they've been incredibly consistent, actually, and quite strong centrally. How are you going to face it? Who's the key players that you're going to look out for?
I mean, I think their biggest strength is, like, the team and how hard they work. And I think that Casey has got them really believing in themselves. They've sort of, like, carried on their momentum from last year, haven't they? Like, they're almost a bit fearless, which, I mean, is admirable. I think that they've got some great wide players. I think, is it Leah Galton?
We played
them in pre-season. So it was like, I guess, just a bit of a warm-up for this game in that sense. And I thought she, in my opinion, was their best player on that day. But obviously I know they've got Lauren James again, who I think she's been flying in the league too. So I think it'll be a tough game for us, and we've got to play them twice in a week. It's going to be tricky. But, hopefully we can just take a lot of confidence out of the last game and go from there.
That is your last game, of course, Lucy, before the Christmas break. So good luck from us against Manchester United women. That maple syrup's coming good. We've had a whole conversation with Keris Harrop about the maple syrup and about you guys cooking with maple syrup.
Lovely Christmas.
Yeah. Yes, so a
Thank
syrupy smooth win again, hopefully. And thanks for speaking to the Offside Rule. Thank you, Lucy Staniforth.
Thank you.
That's Birmingham City Women's Lucy Staniforth there.
There was a game midweek last week involving Birmingham 2, who drew 1-1 against Tottenham. So on to our final two matches of the week that, first of all, saw Liverpool draw with West Ham.
Yep, and it was Liverpool's first goal from open play in the WSL this season. Both sides, though, shared the points at the Holton Stadium after the Hammers went ahead via an Adriana Leon-Tame strike before Neve Charles scored Liverpool's goal. It ended at 1-1 between Liverpool and West Ham.
Raf, West Ham are fast becoming the team that I just cannot predict.
So inconsistent, yeah. The players that they've recruited are very good. So the inconsistency is just, it's quite frustrating. It must be very, really frustrating to know what they are capable of and actually not always doing that. I think they're actually, you know, lucky to get away with the draw because, you know, Liverpool missed a penalty, didn't they? So
yeah,
these are the kind of games that West Ham should be winning.
There was also Courtney Sweetman Kirk late on had an effort as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know whether it's defensively or I don't know what it is, but they, you know, they go and win against Man United in the fashion they did, and then and then they kind of drop points in places where they're almost expected to
win. Here's a bit of insight needed from you then. What will Matt Beard be telling his team? Will he be telling them not to panic? Will he be shouting at them? How will, do you think, he be handling this situation?
He does like the team to keep quite calm. You know, there's a long way to go. You know, there's a small amount of teams in the league, so a few wins, you know, can totally change the season. But I think he'd just be crying out for just the consistency and maybe a bit of ownership from some of the players, because there is a lot of experience, a lot of international experience as well in the squad. So, you know, being able to predict, make the game a bit more predictable for themselves and work on their patterns of play, because I know, you know, last season we did that a lot. He'll have a game plan for every single team and know their weaknesses, and almost if the team aren't, you know, fulfilling the game plan, then it's almost down to the players, because the manager can only do so much. And I know that Matt Beard always gives the, you know, the players everything that they need going into a game, so it's on their shoulders.
You spoke about West Ham potentially being lucky there to get a point, but how much of a killer is it to drop to for Liverpool? Because that could have been
an opportunity for them to take the three, but much needed 3 points as well. They're sitting bottom of the table, and that could have taken them, you know, above Bristol. And to think that Liverpool are sitting at the bottom of the table is actually quite criminal, because the way they've almost fallen from grace.
Yeah.
You know, we think a few years back when they were winning the title. Is the investment not there from a club? I don't know what it, like, I don't really, to be honest, I haven't seen a great deal of Liverpool, so I can't really, you know.
But you're right, that fall, I remember that season where one of three clubs could have won the trophy, and I was presenting the WSL show on BT Sport at the time, and they had the trophy on a motorway because they didn't know where it was going to end up,
Liverpool retained it. Yeah, they came from third, I remember, and then they, on the goal, was it goal difference, Man City beat Chelsea, us on the final day. God, that was a bad day, that.
I think Bass was talking about that last week when you lost it on goal difference. It is a weekly rant of mine, and I won't go into it again about how I think Liverpool women should be better supported. But, Lindsay, let's move on instead to Spurs and Brighton.
Yeah, this is the final one from us. Spurs winning again after three matches without a win. They beat Brighton 1-0 thanks to a goal which was helped on by one of my favourites, Ashley Neville, as producer Abby's written in the script. I think this is because I was a little scathing of her at Stamford Bridge, but she is improving very quickly, I have to say. Went down in the end, though, as a Victoria Williams own goal. Gemma Davison, Raf, made her first start since returning from an ankle injury. I know she's been frustrated on the sideline, wanting to get back in. And I think that she's the sort of player that can really change a season for them.
She's a game changer. She was doing so well before she got injured as well, so it was a bit of a kick in the teeth, especially after having not played as much as she wanted the season before at Reading and not really enjoying it as much. I know she's having, you know, really enjoying it at Tottenham. So it's good to see her back in. She's experienced. They need that kind of lift as well.
Can I grill you about her? Because I've had this frustration for some time. I think she's technically and skillfully one of the best players that I've seen up close. What is it that is preventing that extra factor? Because I've sometimes identified it as the tracking back.
Yeah. Some people just have it in them to have that, is that, that it is the defensive, the mindset, and when you're playing in the best teams in the world, you need to have both. Gemma is superb at going forward. Brilliant. And also when she wants to track back, she's superb, but she needs to be reminded to, which I think is probably that kind of split second. And yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people get quite frustrated with her, but she still has the ability. I think she's like 32, 33 now.
She's still a very good player.
To change games. So she'll be a boost, almost feels like almost like a new signing, because she hasn't been in for a while.
Big impact straight away. It makes you think that in the twilight of her career that's coming up, she would just be that perfect substitute to bring on to a match.
Well, the conditions at the Hive in front of 571 people who attended this game were tricky. I think the wind played a big factor. But Spurs, it's been over a month since they recorded a victory. So good one for them.
Nothing worse than playing in wind. It's just the worst environment, because you can't judge the ball properly.
No, of course you can't.
Especially as a defender. Hit in the face a few times when you think you're going to be able to head it just because of the wind.
Is the instruction just straight away try and keep the ball on the ground as much as possible?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
A few other lines from around women's football. The Women's Champions League has been revamped for the 2021-22 season. It's a little confusing, but there's essentially going to be a group stage for the very first time. And should England remain in the top six countries of UEFA, then the WSL will see three teams enter the Champions League. At the moment, we get two, the third of which needing to go through the second qualifying round to get to that group stage. So it's a little bit muddled, yeah. But as we can see, there is some promise there for England teams and players in the WSL to get more experience in Europe.
All we need now, Hoops, is some TV rights. Let's move on.
Let's move on
to WSL fixtures next week. Now, this is the final game week before that two-week winter break. So all out for this one. Raf, I'm going to ask you to pick out a tie that you're interested in from this one. We've got Everton Women versus Arsenal, Birmingham up against Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, City, Manchester City versus Brighton, Reading take on Tottenham, and Bristol City host West Ham.
You know what? I'm going to go Reading-Tottenham because they are both in that kind of area, aren't they, where one week they're great, the next week they're not so much. So it'll be interesting to see at what time in the 90 minutes Farrah Williams scores, because that's how predictable her ability to score has become. And yeah, I'm hoping that your mate Neville will put in a good shift.
I'm not going to live this one down. She's going to hate me by the end of this podcast.
We are behind you all the way, Ashley Neville.
I'd like to pick out the early kickoff because it's the only one that kicks off at 12:30, Everton-Arsenal. Everton, who've been fairly consistent under Willie Kirk, I know they didn't have a good result last weekend. Arsenal, this is going to be a real test for them, but they are at home.
Mm. Everton, like most of the teams in this league, actually, have the ability to kind of nullify the likes of Arsenal. Willie Kirk was fantastic, organising his team. So as long as they're defensively tight and organised and try and make it as difficult for Arsenal as possible, I think that's probably the only way. And as we were saying about before, don't get drawn out by some of the movement. Stay compact. But I see Arsenal kind of winning that.
There are two remaining games left to play, though, for WSL teams. One we've mentioned in the league, but also a cup game as well. It's the final round of the Conti Cup fixtures. Quite a lot going on here. Several teams involved. You've got the North teams, of course, and the Southern teams as well. The one thing that I'll pick out from this one, Groups A and C are interesting because, of course, it's all to play for now. Group A is an interesting one because you're likely to see two championship sides through from either Sheffield United, Durham or Aston Villa, by my calculations anyway. Group C, the other one to pick out, and that's because there are a whole host of WSL teams in this one, which makes it very competitive indeed. We're looking at either Manchester United, Manchester City or Birmingham going through from Group C.
Yeah, and Casey's mentioned about how the draw is split, so some having it a lot easier than others in the Conti Cup.
Yeah, people have got their opinions on the Conti Cup, haven't they?
It sounds like you might have an opinion.
You know what? No, I think it's great. I think it's great for the championship teams because, you know, it's nice to see a benchmark of the you know, how they need to improve. It's also a learning for the players. It's invaluable being able to go up against, you know, so to speak, better teams.
Yeah, and where would they get that experience
exactly,
otherwise?
You need the exposure.
Okay.
Well, that's all for this week. Lots going on as ever, and you can keep up to date with everything Offside Rule and read the top 100 female players in the world on our website and on The Guardian's website too. We're at offsiderulepodcast.com.
We also have an Instagram page and Twitter at @OffsideRulePod. And we've also had some feedback. We like to get feedback, don't we?
We love it. Five stars,
it's great. You can rate on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and you can give it 5 stars. And then we will read out like we are with this one. MC Lil Haystack on Apple Podcasts gave us this review. Essential listening for women's football fans. A great mix of current and former players as guests as well as journalists.
Yes, the reviews are important because they help other people find us. Raf, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you getting a winter break too?
I wish I had 2 weeks off. No, I think I might go away in the new year though.
Ooh. Yeah.
When the prices are a bit cheaper.
I'm thinking February.
End of Jan.
Yeah.
My boss doesn't know that yet, so.
Okay, fair enough. Well, good luck with all the Christmas shopping. It dawned on me today that there's not very many days left until Christmas.
But so, anyone as well listening to our regular Offside Rule pod on a Thursday, you should update them. You now have your tree up.
I now have my tree up. This is exciting news. I did return the not so good looking tree because
this is criminal, Raph. Like, what
happens to them trees?
Exactly, you've got to give
it's
an
sad.
Ugly tree a life.
Yeah,
it went back to
judge
the shop
appearance
for
like
someone
this.
To purchase who liked the trees with short skirts on them. But my trees are up, which is very exciting. Raph, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
Again on the role at Lewis. Mm. Great news for the women's game. Lindsay, thank you. We're back next week, aren't we?
We are.
You've been listening to The Offside Rule WSL Edition, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. And for more from The Offside Rule, head to our website, offsiderulepodcast.com.